Hi, and welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and we're going to be talking about pregnancy in Appalachia, especially in West Virginia today, with Stacia Quintrell. She's the Strong Start Peer Leader at the Family Care Birth Center. Hey, Stacia.
Hi.
And we also have Lee Nichols, Certified Nurse Midwife at Family Care and Director of Midwifery Services. Thank you all for coming. And of course, we have, I would consider our resident expert in being pregnant in West Virginia right now, Lori Lynn of the Charleston Daily Mail.
Hi. Lee, you're a certified nurse midwife, and I think for a lot of people, when they hear the word midwife, they have this mental image of, you know, a woman giving birth in a barn with a stick between her teeth. Tell us what your training is and what you are able to do as a midwife.
First of all, just so you'll know, there are several different types of midwives. So specifically with this interview, I'm going to talk about a certified nurse midwife, which I am. We are registered nurses, and we have at least a master's degree or higher, and we have a lot of extensive training in midwifery. For instance, have over 600 hours or so of clinical experience. We have to catch at least 40 babies. So, yeah, we say catch. You'll never hear a midwife say, I delivered your baby. Mm-hmm. We catch the babies. The mom delivers the babies.
It, right?
That's exactly right. So certified nurse midwives not only catch babies, but we can see you from preconception through menopause. So you could even come to see me for just a sinus infection or some minor primary care issue. It's almost like being a family nurse practitioner. Plus, we catch the babies. Mm-hmm. So we have the more fun part of it, I think.
When I was pregnant with my first child, I was thinking in my mind, you know, I would like it to be a vaginal birth, obviously. I'd like it to be, you know, happy and natural. But I'm pretty sure that I want an epidural, was my thought, because mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like I was the kind of woman who was going to not want an epidural. And so in my mind, it was this kind of all or nothing thing. Well, because I don't think I want it to be completely natural, a midwife isn't for me. And now I understand that really isn't the case, right? I mean, you're not pushing women in any sort of direction as far as how they're going to mm-hmm. give birth or even where, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the good thing about midwives. We let you choose what you want and to make sure that's going to be a safe mm-hmm. delivery for mom and baby. So if you do not want an epidural, that's fine. If you do want an epidural, that's fine. We are allowed to order that for you in a hospital mm-hmm. setting, obviously. If it's at the birth center, we do have IV pain medication that we can give you in the birth center if you choose to do that. So whatever you want, we're here to help.
Stacia, I'll ask you this. So some women are not going to be able to give birth at the birth center mm-hmm. just because of mm-hmm. physical limitations or, you know, complications mm-hmm. with their pregnancy. Is there a kind of a mental, do you need to be sort of tough to, I mean, what's the ideal woman to give birth at a birth center? Mm-hmm. Or is it all over the map?
I think it's more of a mental game. And so for me, I'm a baby. Like, I didn't play sports. I don't like the idea of exerting any type of energy, sweating, like, ugh, thinking about running makes me tired. So, like, people thought, you know, when I told them that, you know, I was having this baby at the birth center with, you know, pain medicine, they were like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, sure you are. But, you know, it was more of a mental game. Like, it's like you have to psych yourself, you know, up for it, because your body is going to tell you, okay, you can't do this anymore. Like, this is just too hard. But if you've set your mind to it, I think that's is the clincher. If you're telling your body, yes, you can do this, I think you'll be successful.
Lee, the World Health Organization says that a C-section rate, of 5 to 10% is optimal and probably reflects what's going to be medically necessary. The U.S. C-section rate now is around 33%. One in every three births is a C-section. West Virginia's C-section rate is number 5 in the country at about 36%. So it's even higher here in West mm-hmm. Virginia. Why do you think our C-section rate is so high, and what could we do as a country to lower it?
I think we tend to give women a low priority on their ability to give birth and not empowering them to say, you know, you can have a vaginal delivery, it is possible. There are also other factors in the section rates, or for instance, induction methods, how we induce you when you're not in labor on your own, the medications that we use, the epidurals that we use, continuous electronic fetal monitoring plays a part in that.
And some of these are liability issues, right?
Right,
I mean, the
exactly.
monitoring is very much tied to legal, you know, the lawyers are telling them that they need to do
right.
that.
Right, that's exactly right. And also, for instance, informed choices for the woman on a vaginal birth after a cesarean, they're not always given the correct information to make that informed choice. Casual attitudes about surgery, thinking, oh, well, it's just a surgery. Well, no, section is a major surgery. They go through all the tissue, the muscle, down to the uterus. There's bleeding, infection, risk to internal organs.
Complications
to the pregnancy. The baby can possibly get cut and all that. So, you know, you have all those things to consider as well. And also, I hate to say this, but you get more money for a C-section. You get more money for a section than you do a vaginal delivery, so that may be an issue as well. And also, lastly, it's convenient for the provider. You know, doc, hey, I got a golf game at 5 o'clock and you're not delivered yet. Well, I don't think this baby's coming that way. Let's just have a C-section. So in order to make that better, you've got to look at all these things we've talked about and say, okay, how can we make this better? For example, continuous electronic fetal monitoring. For a low-risk woman, it's not necessary. We can do that in the hospital, believe it or not. Just like Stacia at the birth center, we have a certain criteria that we say, okay, for every 30 minutes we'll listen to your baby while you're in the active phase of labor, and then we have certain criteria for that. So those are things that you have to consider in making that section rate decrease.
Yeah, when I was being induced, I remember most of the time I had to be flat on my back with the monitor on. Every time I got up to go to the bathroom, I would dilate another centimeter. You know, every just standing up was helpful, but I couldn't stand up. Other than that, I had to be lying, you know, flat on a hospital bed, and that was because I had the IV and I had the monitor on, and that is not helpful.
And we weren't built to have babies laying flat on our backs either. So
right. My co-panelist, Rick Wilson, who is not here today, he's off adventuring elsewhere. He usually works in a Bible quote into our show. And since he's not here, I'm going to do it. This is from Genesis, and this is after Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit of the forbidden tree, and God is handing down their punishment to them. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children." I'm not endorsing that view of childbirth as divine punishment, but like a lot of sacred texts, I think it's trying to explain a reality, which is that childbirth is very painful often and dangerous. You know, even today, a lot of women around the world are still dying of, you know, in childbirth and pregnancy related complications. So just this is the devil's advocate question. You know, shouldn't we be on our knees thanking OBs and thanking modern medicine? Shouldn't we be flocking to hospitals for our epidurals to get rid of this pain? What is it that makes women embrace the pain and want to do it, you know, in a more natural way? I'll start with you, Stacia.
I had read this book, and it kind of put it in perspective to me. It said, if you had a marathon runner who, you know, was getting ready to say, you know, run the New York Marathon, would you say to him, all the risks of running a marathon, you could fall and break your legs, you could have a heart attack, you could do all this stuff, you know, all these bad things could happen to you. So to make sure that you're safe, we think you should run the marathon in the treadmill at the hospital, hooked up to IV fluids, we got to monitor your heart, because it could happen. Which, when you think about it, yeah, that could happen, but what is the likelihood of that happening? And look how many people run marathons. What is the percentage of people that actually is happening to? And we'd say, no, we wouldn't tell somebody to do that because that sounds crazy. And I think sometimes we do that to women. We tell them all these scary things that could happen. And so we want you to be safe. And you know, every mother and every parent, when you bring in that baby, they're going to do what's best for the baby. So if you say, we want to make this the safest possible way for your baby, they're going to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is the disadvantage, is that we're being overly safe. We're trying to prevent stuff from happening, and what we're doing is actually causing more harm sometimes. When we talk about OBs, I love doctors. I think that they're fantastic when we need them. But they are trained surgeons, and they're trained to see the scary things. And so when you're only looking at stuff from one perspective, that's all you see sometimes. And so I think that they just kind of I remember asking a midwife, are they really that scared for this baby that something could happen, that that's why they want to do these sections? And some of the times I really think in their minds that they really are that scared, that they don't see normal birth. And so everything is, oh my goodness, that could happen. And so when there is a normal birth, they're just looking for anything because they don't see it. And so I think that is what is the biggest thing, is teaching patience and teaching what a normal labor is. Let them watch one and see, and then that way they can kind of balance out that act.
It's interesting, both of you have alluded to the woman's experience. After my first child was born, you know, I ended up having C-section. It did not go the way I wanted. I was really, mm-hmm. really upset mm-hmm. for quite a while. I had difficulty yeah. talking about mm-hmm. it. And what people said to me so often was, the only important thing is that the baby mm-hmm. was healthy, mm-hmm. which, you know, I just found that so offensive because, you know, first of all, duh, of course that's the important yeah. thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's so obvious that it's like insulting that you're mm-hmm. saying that to me. But also, my experience is important too. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly mm-hmm. it's right up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to treat it so casually that I had major surgery mm-hmm. that probably, you know, realistically was not necessary, could have certainly mm-hmm. have been avoided with, you know, different care. And I got really angry about mm-hmm. it. I think now that I've been a mom for several years, it sort of recedes into the past. Mm-hmm. It's not such a big deal. But, yeah, boy, it was really, that was a tough thing to hear mm-hmm. at first. I don't want to stop without talking about childbirth, specifically in Appalachia. I know you said, Lee, that you trained in Kentucky. Can you talk about traditions here? Do you feel like there's a stronger pull toward natural childbirth here? I mean, I know in the not so distant past, a lot of women were having babies at home in more rural settings. You said now you feel like it's more women who are well off, and it's almost like it's flipped and mm-hmm. the privileged people are choosing the more natural route now.
Kate Middleton had a midwife of both her deliveries, and she's probably one of the richest women
really?
In the world.
Is that true? I didn't know.
Yes, she had two midwife births, but that's normal there. Mm-hmm.
And, more common
which, yes,
over there in
it's
general.
More common, and so it's not just for the poor. We have all socioeconomic backgrounds, so that's irrelevant. It's just what you want to do and what you know and what's best for you.
I figure I should weigh in. Every once in a while, at least.
What do you know?
There's so much I don't know. Are there any barriers to getting payment as a midwife through either the insurance mm-hmm. system or Medicaid?
Yes and no. Actually, midwives are reimbursed 100% of the physicians, what the physicians would get. So if you choose a birth center birth, obviously it's going to be a lot less expensive as opposed to a hospital birth. But as far as having insurance, they do reimburse midwifery services, and even there are a lot of them that will pay for the birth center. So if you're a private insurance person and you want a birth center birth, more than likely your insurance will cover the birth center.
Lori, that's so stereotypical, by the way. The man weighs in to ask about the money.
Right. No, but that's I'm glad you asked that. I was reading in preparing for the show last night. Apparently a lot of insurers are looking into this as a way to keep costs mm-hmm. down. I was reading that some insurers are getting very antsy about the high C-section rates because of course that is more expensive and it hits them. And one way that they tackled it was very interesting. They got hospitals to start publishing, making public in the hospital each OB's C-section rate. So it's kind mm-hmm. of a way of shaming them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that got the rates right down, mm-hmm. you know, not super low, but mm-hmm. it had an effect right away. Once those doctors knew that their colleagues mm-hmm. could see how high their C-section rates were, suddenly there were fewer C-sections.
Yeah.
So, you know, that shows you right there how unnecessary many of them
were. Yeah.
really were.
Yes.
I should disclose that my wife we had our first child with a family care midwife at CMC Hospital. So we felt like it was the best of both mm-hmm. worlds. Mm-hmm. And there were some complications. She ended up having a C-section, but the midwife was just spectacular throughout. So this is a lighter question. As the man in this situation or as the partner, mm-hmm. give me some tips about like what I should and should not be doing as women who have been through it and also who have seen other people go through it. What are some of the stupid things that partners do, and what are some of the helpful things that partners do?
Stacia, I'll let you answer that one.
I think I have been spoiled. My husband is wonderful when I'm in labor. Mostly he just is just there, and whatever it is that I want or I need, it's just like it just appears. So he's just very attentive, anticipating what I need before I need it. So I like that calm presence. I've seen other labors that I've gone to where the woman is more inclined to another woman. There's just something about just this particular birth where she's grateful her partner is there, but for this instance, she's just more, you know, maybe I always explain it like, you know, sometimes the doula is there to, you know, help encourage and all that stuff, but sometimes a woman needs her hair braided or put into a ponytail and, you know, doesn't want it, like, you know, all over the place. Like, sometimes there's just some girl stuff that a girl can do, and it's not replacing the partner or the spouse or whoever it is. It's just adding to it.
So the lesson here is, you know, partners, it's not about you, really.
No, it's not necessarily.
It's definitely not.
It's all about
it's
mama.
It's all about the mom and, like, you know, cheering her on and whatever it is that she needs. And now back to the birth center. I think that's another reason why I like it, is because my husband was able to participate a lot more, I think, just because it was just like a more intimate environment, that there was a lot more that he could do, I feel like. And he wasn't maybe as nervous as if we would have been in a hospital where there was, you know, different, you know, machines that were out, or he wasn't, you know, interested in different machines going beep. I remember a childbirth educator telling the men, do not get fascinated by the machines in that delivery room.
And it's so easy to get drawn into that.
You know, don't be looking at that monitor and be like, oh, there's a big contraction coming. Like, look
this
at your wife.
Really
this
bad.
Is a big one. Yeah. Look at your wife or whoever it is that you're with. Yeah. Look at her and make sure, you know, don't be like getting all engrossed in that machine. And so I think that type of stuff was, you know, it was easier for him to relax, because the birth center, it has everything that you would need at a hospital. It has, you know, there's stuff to warm your baby. There's, you know, IV stuff. There's medicine. It has all that stuff, but they're really good at tucking it away. So when you
walk, it's more of a home environment.
Yeah, when you walk in, you feel like you're at a home, and it doesn't, that sterile environment doesn't, like, hit you in the face. And I think sometimes that can make people, you know, a little bit nervous. I worked in a hospital, and I would go into rooms, and it would still be like, oh, you know, you don't get that warm feeling that you get when you go to the birth center.
Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure got said?
Real quickly, just the benefits of having a midwife. And these are statistics that you can actually find on the American College of Nurse Midwives. If you go under evidence-based practice, which is what midwifery is, statistically, we have a lower rate of C-sections. We have a lower rate of induction and augmentation. We have a lower incidence of third and fourth degree perineal tears. There's a lower use of regional anesthesia with midwives, and a higher rate of breastfeeding. So those are some of the statistical benefits of having a midwife for your care.
And those are all things that you would think would capture the attention of insurance companies as
right.
well, because, you know, we're talking about costs and money.
And I do want to say, I love my OB providers. They are wonderful. And in no way am I saying you don't want a physician, because my physicians are wonderful colleagues. We collaborate to give the mom the best care for her unique situation and her individual needs. So they are wonderful to have when you need them, and we make a great team together collaboratively.
Thanks to both of you so much for joining us. National Midwife Week, Midwifery Week, is
October
4th through 10th.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
All right. And you've been listening to The Front Porch. Thanks again to Stacia Quintrell, a Strong Start peer leader with Family Care Birth Center, and Lee Nichols, Midwifery Service Director for Family Care. You've been listening to The Front Porch with me, Scott Finn, and Lori Lynn. Rick Wilson is off saving the world in the Middle East, but he'll be back soon. Until then, thanks for listening.